The loss of a child through abortion, miscarriage, or stillbirth affects the emotional health of families. Feelings of anger, sadness, and regret can be overwhelming. There is hope and healing in the aftermath of a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline at 866-482-LIFE to talk with someone who has been where you are and healed to help others. Your call is confidential. 866-482-LIFE.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues, the name of this program. We thank you for listening to AFR. Today's Monday, August 100 Hades 25th, 2024. It's pretty hot out there across the country, a lot of the country.
Down right here in the South, we had a little bit of about 10 days in July where it was like 10 degrees lower than normal.
Yes,
okay. And
it was nice.
And it fools you. It makes you think, hey,
here comes August.
Is summer going to end early? Nope.
Actually, you know, September is hotter than May. Where we live.
Yeah. That's right, because the heat is hanging around.
Yeah, September. Usually you get a break maybe about the third week in September, you know, then you don't have the humidity breaks and it's fall, but fall is starting to come. But anyway, listen, you're not going to hear me complain because, as I've said before, I hate cold weather.
We're not going to hear you complain.
Well, I'm actually starting a hate group against cold weather.
I'll join.
Will you join that?
I'll join.
Will you be a dues carrier?
I will.
Member.
That's right. I'm a Yankee. I grew up.
Right.
I loved cold weather for most of my life.
Yeah.
But the
not
last,
anymore.
Last year or two, it just gets right to my bones, and I'm going, I'm sorry. Lord, I'm sorry I made fun of all those snowbirds, all those people that always went down to Florida during the winter.
Right.
I mocked them.
All right. Again, thanks for joining us on this Monday, August the 5th, 2024. Christopher Woodward joins us. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. I will tell you, it started several years ago. I'm not sure if it's still in existence, but there was an organization once known as Minnesotans for Global Warming.
Minnesotans for global warming.
Yes, their logo was like a flamingo like thawing out of a block of ice.
You might be able to get Jan Markell to join that group.
Ed Battagliano with me. I failed to mention Ed. So, a lot to talk about today. As you can imagine, a lot going on in the world. A lot of people are watching the United States stock market, Chris.
Yes.
Over to you.
Yes, right now the Dow is down more than 1,000 points, the NASDAQ 567, and the S&P 149. This is after some very tumultuous trading days on Thursday afternoon and all day Friday. Some of the problems had to do with the very disappointing, and that's putting it kindly.
Was it very disappointing, Chris?
It was. The U.S. jobs report from the federal government came in at 114,000. We were expecting somewhere around 185,000, which is not a great number, but it was far below expectations, as was the unofficial but still important ADP employment report that came out last Wednesday. That came in at 122,000 when we thought we would see somewhere around 150,000. So if you have money in stocks, you are not doing very good today, specifically your 401k.
Yeah. As you know, Chris, my saying on the stock market is what?
Stocks go up and stocks go down. That's and right now we're going down.
It'd be a great country song.
Oh, I got like the melody down.
My
right
baby
now.
Left me when the stocks went up, and she came back when the stocks went down. And then I found my hound. What do you think, Ed? Come on to something there?
Well,
I got a dog in there.
Shouldn't it be reversed?
I got my baby leaving.
Shouldn't it be that she left you when the stocks went down and came back when the stocks went up?
A true love is when you come back when the stock's down. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, but that's not a good country song.
Have you heard today's country music? Because it's pretty bad.
I have not.
It's pop music with a southern accent.
Yep.
That's a good way to describe it.
Not that right, I listen to secular music.
Listen, in all seriousness, the stock market is down significantly,
yes.
But that's not unexpected because it's been up and people say, well, it needs a correction.
Yeah.
I just know that, you know, if the stock market goes up, it goes down. And if that bothers you and you're an investor, you probably shouldn't be in the stock market.
Right.
I'm not saying you shouldn't be bothered by the stock market going down if you have money in the stock market, but you got to understand, you know, when you're heavily invested in the stock market, you are taking a gamble.
Yeah.
Right? You're taking a gamble. So
and the stock market is subject to the
we got wars and rumors of wars yes. going on right now, and that's right. As the Bible says, and that's unsettling to many investors in the world, because how what if we get into some kind of regional or international war, you know,
right.
which
I would also say that it's not beyond the possibility that the stock market is also responding to Kamala Harris pulling pretty close to President Trump.
Why is that?
Well, because I don't think they
want her to be president.
I think they do not want four more years of what they've had for the four last years of Biden, because Kamala Harris is at least as bad for the economy as Joe Biden, maybe even a little worse. So the wars you're talking about, the bad job report, and the political landscape in this country probably all have contributed to this.
Usually Wall Street favors the Republican.
Yeah.
On balance, they usually favor the Republican. Whoever the Republican nominee is, they don't like Democrats that much, because Democrats are known for their heavy taxation and their heavy regulations.
Yes.
Which stifles business and commerce.
Right.
That's the general ideology that most people subscribe to.
Right. Yeah.
But we'll see what happens. Again, stock markets go up, stock markets go down. They've been good for a couple of years?
Yeah, they've done – it's done well. I mean, it's down 900 now, the Dow is, but the Dow is still well above – it's almost 39,000 after losing – left and right for, you know, a couple of days.
Yeah.
So it's not like the Dow has plummeted.
Can you explain? You got your Dow and you got your NASDAQ, right, Chris?
The Dow and the NASDAQ and the S&P 500, all of which kind of involve different industries.
Right.
You know, the NASDAQ has a lot more tech.
Can you break that down for us?
Not really. But the Dow has.
You sound like you can.
Well, the NASDAQ has like more tech stuff in it than maybe the S&P. But all of those things together impact everybody listening, because whether you know it or not, your money is all over the place in a 401k, or it should be.
So what does S&P stand for, Chris?
Mm-hmm. Standard and Poor's.
Yes. Yeah.
I had to think for a second.
I knew that.
I've only had one cup of coffee, so I had to think.
And that doesn't mean poor like in no money. That means poor like that's the name of the company, right?
I forget. It doesn't refer to poverty, though.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not Southern Poverty.
Just ironic.
Or Southern Poverty Law Center.
No.
All right, next story. Chris, we got the stock market going up, stock market coming down, and so that's going to be the story of the day. Probably.
Well, you did mention the race there between Trump and Kamala. I do want to take a minute to discuss.
Is it okay to call her Kamala? Do we call her? What if we said the race between Harris and Donald?
We could do that. Harris and Trump.
No, I'm just saying. I'm just asking the question. Are we supposed to call her Kamala now, or do we call him Donald, or do you call him Trump and call her Harris, or what's the appropriate?
From a news person, it's supposed to be the last names. Why they decided that a long time ago, I don't know. It should be Harris v. Trump or Trump v. Harris.
Okay, I'm just asking. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's a good point. I don't know why I've been calling her Kamala, but Chris is right. It should be Trump v. Harris. And formally, when you first mention, you say former President Donald Trump and current Vice President Kamala Harris. And so you can refer to the former president or the vice president or Trump and Harris. That's really the way we should be doing it.
All right. What about?
Yeah. So the race between these two is supposedly tightening up, if you believe the polls. I always look to Real Clear Politics, because they list all the big polls. and who's leading in which one. And then they do an RCP average where they try to give you an idea of who's really winning in these battles. Donald Trump in recent days had as much as a 2-point lead on Harris in the RCP average. He's now down to 0.8. She has the lead on three polls, CBS News, Daily Kos, and actually four, Morning Consult and Reuters. So it is a very tight race right now between these two.
Yes. Now, when we were – people can look this up for themselves, and I go to the same place you do, the Real Clear Politics. Mm-hmm. And the reason I think that's accurate is because it's a merging of a lot of different polls, mm-hmm. right, to come up with the – that's thus
to give you an idea of
– thus the term Real Clear Politics average.
Right.
So – but you know what? The national polls don't mean a whole lot. What you need to look at is the states, the swing states that we have been talking about now for 20 years, basically, the 7 to 8 to 10 swing states that basically decide the presidential race, because California is going to go, California and New York are going to go blue. It doesn't matter if ET's running. As the Democrat nominee, they're voting for ET, and it doesn't matter if Tom Thumb is running for the Republican side. Texas and
much of the South,
Mississippi is going to go red. Yeah. It doesn't matter. Who was Tom Thumb, by the way? Did he have any kind of?
It was a short guy.
Was he now?
Yeah, it was. That's one of those.
I resonate with him.
Little fairy tale things, wasn't it? Like the woman who lived.
It's also a chain of convenience stores.
The woman who lived in the shoe.
Tom Thumb
right
was
next
her,
to Tom Thumb.
Right next to Tom Thumb?
Yeah. They were neighbors.
Okay. Then the VeggieTales moved in.
Yes.
Their was never the same.
The talking
cucumbers. Playing his tuba at all hours of the day.
You're not going to believe me, honey, but this cucumber over here,
yes,
it talks.
I don't know how he holds a tuba.
They just moved into the neighborhood. All right, so what are the polls showing relative to the swing states? Are they're all about dead even? I think
I have on Real Clear Politics. Okay. Trump is up in Wisconsin, 0.2 points. Pennsylvania, Trump up 0.18. Michigan, Harris up 2 points. Arizona, Trump up 2.8. Nevada, Trump up four points. North Carolina, Trump up 5.5. Georgia, Trump up 0.8. That is of August 5th.
What did you say about Michigan and Pennsylvania?
Michigan, Harris up 2 points. And what was the other one you said?
Pennsylvania.
Trump is up 1.8.
Presumably, it will get tighter between these two because...
It can get tighter?
Yes, because she hasn't even gone through the convention yet, the whole pageantry that is romanticizing your candidate. The Democrats have not yet done that.
When does that start?
Later this month. Mm-hmm. Yeah, in Chicago. And it's going to be all hail the queen kind of stuff. Similar to how Republicans always take a week to talk about their Republican...
Yeah. All hail the queen, H-A-I-L.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Just want to make sure people understood that. I might have southernized it. Yeah. You weren't using a bad word on Christian radio,
no.
Chris.
No.
Okay.
Not today, anyway.
All H-A-I-L, the queen. Well, all right, this is interesting. Listen, I've said it 1,000 times, so I'll say it 1,001. We're a 50-50 country and have been since the Hanging Chads performed down in South Florida.
That was my first election. That was the first time I got to vote.
Oh, 2000. Really? Mm-hmm. Bush v. Gore.
And so basically these the states that are 50-50, basically, well, when I mean 50-50 nationally, the states, but the swing states really are about 50-50, and it just depends on who wins them.
I mentioned, by the way, 2000, Bush v. Gore, otherwise known as Bush versus Al.
Oh, Bush versus Al.
It is weird saying the first name.
Yeah.
George versus Al.
Call me Al.
Speaking of Vice President Harris, according to Reuters, she is supposed to announce her pick for running mate tomorrow.
Who's going to be, Chris?
I don't know. Now, I do think it will probably be, if I had to guess right now, if who do you think it's going to be? It would be Josh Shapiro because she really needs Pennsylvania. He is a somewhat popular governor over there. He's polled pretty well. But as we've talked about on this show, there are some people in the Democratic Party that are scared to death about putting a Jewish person on the ticket with her right now because it might cost them Michigan. So if that's going to be the concern, Mark Kelly, the senator from Arizona, might be the safer pick.
Astronaut.
I think Mark Kelly would be a more formidable vice presidential candidate for the Republicans because of the patriot factor. Mm-hmm. Okay, so being an astronaut. And however, Mark Kelly he's anti-gun, he's anti-Second Amendment. I mean, he has his own baggage in mm-hmm. terms of the national aspect of the election. But I to your point, I think it's difficult for them to pick Josh Shapiro simply because there's a large segment of the Democratic Party that is just anti-Semitic. Mm-hmm. I mean, that just seems to me.
And we talked about it. We've talked about this before, but the state of Israel as it exists today exists because of Democrats like Harry Truman. But this party has gone so far to the left.
Yeah.
Harry Truman looks like Ronald Reagan at this point.
Right.
Given the fact that you've got AOC and Tlaib and others having a major voice and really swaying their politics right now.
All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. I'm Tim with Ed and Chris, and we're talking about the news of the day. Yes, sir.
Boy, we ought to let our folks know that at the bottom of the hour, Tim Todd mm-hmm. will be on, and president of Revival Fires International. It is Truth for Youth Bible Week this week, and Tim Todd,
our annual
annual partnership with Revival Fires International. And folks, if you're listening, we encourage you to listen at the bottom of the hour. Be prepared to drink out of a fire hose. Because Brother Tim Todd.
Non-alcoholic,
right?
Just
he is
the metaphor you were using.
He is a preacher, preacher's preacher.
So, yeah, he can go.
Yeah. So, and we also, top of the hour, next hour, Kobe Ferguson, president and CEO of Meoz Israel Ministries. He did some of our devotion.
Yeah.
You want to stick around for that.
He's from Israel.
And yes.
Lives in Israel.
His daughter is in the IDF.
Yeah.
And it is possible that war breaks out in Israel between Israel and Hezbollah within the next day or two. Mm-hmm. So,
well, let's pray that doesn't happen.
Amen. So we got a couple of good guests coming up. So
yeah.
You want to stick around for that.
Back to the vice presidential choice for Harris. Of course, she hasn't even been officially nominated yet.
Right.
Of course, that's supposed to be, you know, that's going to happen when the Democrats have their convention in Chicago.
August 19th through the 22nd.
But, you know, they have a Jew problem in the Democrat Party, as you mentioned, Ed. There's a lot of people who are anti-Semitic, which means anti-Jewish, and they're not going to be happy with it's going to be racism, basically. The Democrats are going to be participating in. If they deny Shapiro the VP role, you're going to have to say why. And they're probably going to say, well, because they're not going to say it like I just said it. They're going to say something about his support of Israel is too strong or something of that nature. But politically speaking, take all the ideological discussion out of it, he would be a good pick in the sense that that would help Harris win Pennsylvania. That's the thought, and
that used to be the way vice presidential selections went. You would try to what they would call balance the ticket. So if you had so you have John F. Kennedy from Massachusetts,
right,
and then you have Lyndon Baines Johnson from Texas. You want to kind of balance out the country in your ticket, but also you want your VP selection to try to guarantee you a state.
Yeah. We'll see what happens, but it seems to be coming down to Shapiro, the governor of Pennsylvania, or the senator from Arizona, Mark Kelly. One of those fellows will probably be her VP choice in the next announced win.
Tomorrow?
Is that? Yeah, according to Reuters, it's going to be tomorrow. And that does – I would believe that because it's already been reported that she's going to be in Las Vegas with her future running mate. Local media said that last week.
I don't know how to say this, but Vice President Harris, she just doesn't have what it takes to intellectually.
If I could get an argument out of me,
I don't know.
I don't have confidence in it.
I don't like talking about somebody's smarts or not because, well, I'm not smart. You know, I got my own challenges.
Well, I do too. I mean, nobody wants me running for president. I hope they say, well, I think Ed's a nice guy and all.
He did ride that bright. But his qualifications would include riding the pommel horse back in high school.
You're not going to forget that, are you?
That's one of his qualifications. Am I saying anything that a lot of people aren't thinking here?
Democrats are acting like she's Albert Einstein.
Yeah. And, you know,
I mean, can we find a happy medium at least? Can we agree on that?
Yeah, and it was not but a year ago, if it's even been that long, that you had Politico and some other left-wing news outlets saying she was a problem for Biden on the ticket. Well, yeah. And now they want to talk about she's the greatest thing.
Yeah, they are trying to do the great remake of Harris. They're trying to remake her image. Listen, the best they can do, I think, is keep her off the debate stage and keep her, would be my guess, and let her do very few public outings. I would do the basement campaign if I were the Democrats.
She, at one point in the last couple of days when she was leaving Houston, where she had been there for a funeral, she read from the binder and then quickly, like, walked. I've never seen
her
walk
so
fast.
That's smart to do that because the less she's out there in the public eye, the better.
Because mm-hmm. The fewer stumbles she'll make.
Yes,
exactly. Now, she is – now, the headline on Fox is Harris pulled from trail, meaning campaign trail, with months to go to address Iran's threats, this threats against
Israel. Yeah, but
that's
just for a couple of days, don't you think?
Well, I'm saying if there is war in the Middle East, she could – in other words, she could have political cover. Mm-hmm. And probably boost her image by staying off the campaign trail where she's liable to misspeak and look presidential.
And with 92 days until the election, that's
probably this presidential election is going to be, for the most part, a referendum on Donald Trump, the former president. Do you want him back in the White House or not, America? That's the question.
I would put it this way. I don't disagree with that. I think whoever gets to frame this election the way they want has a leg up, an advantage. So if the Democrats make this a campaign about Donald Trump, do you want to go back to four more years of Donald Trump? They have a good shot at winning. If the Republicans can make this about Biden and Harris ruining our economy, then I think Republicans have a better chance.
Yeah.
So who gets to frame the election and who succeeds in framing
it? Right
now
it's 50-50.
Yeah.
I mean, this is – how many more razor-thin elections? We're just – huh?
And it's exhausting, isn't it?
Yes. I would rather somebody win outright by 50.
Yeah.
Well, no, I wouldn't like somebody to – but you know what I'm saying here. It'd almost be better for the country if we had a clear winner or loser,
yeah,
regardless of which way it's side. Instead of having this 50-50 and then, you cheated. No, you cheated.
Because if Trump, let me say, if Donald Trump wins a razor-thin election in 2024, then it's going to be the Democrats saying they cheated. This is an illegitimate president. Like
Russia.
Hillary Clinton. Yeah. Russian interference.
Yeah. Well, November can't get here soon enough. Can we just fast?
November 6th.
I would say let's just fast forward, but we'd miss half the football season. If that, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I'd miss the opening to hockey season.
Yeah, we don't want that.
No.
You can't.
I say we let time proceed
on
its own course.
Let's do that. Why? Because there's not squat we can do about it anyway.
That's right.
We'll return with more squat after the break.
Did you know that every day, Preborn's network of clinics experiences 200 miracles? How? Preborn gives women with unplanned pregnancies a window into their womb through free ultrasounds, introducing them to the beautiful life growing inside. Once she meets her child inside her womb and hears their heartbeat, the chance of her baby's life doubles. Because of the generosity of you and me, who donate just $28 to sponsor an ultrasound, Preborn can do this. The cost of a dinner to save a life, the most worthwhile investment you can make. All gifts are tax deductible and go entirely to saving babies. Someday you may meet a baby that you rescued and you can give them a hug. Or maybe they'll give you a hug. Maybe they'll even save your life as they grow and pursue meaningful careers. One thing is for sure, you will never regret saving a child's life because life is a miracle. Please donate your best gift today. Just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. Just had a very nice couple touring our facilities here, and they're from the New Orleans area. Just wanted to say, if folks are traveling and they are coming through our area here in Tupelo, Mississippi, we welcome folks to come by, and we'll be glad if we're here. Well, say hello and come by and see the studios and our offices here.
Get a nice tour.
The campus, yes.
We do ask that they go to afa.net and look at the top. There is a little drop-down menu for...
How do you do that?
So, well, you go to afa.net.
Yeah.
And I'm doing that right now.
You do that right now.
As we speak.
Because I've never scheduled a tour here.
Okay, and so if you go to afa.net... Uh-huh. And, I just got a little pop-up action alert. Okay, and so there is a contact us at the top, and there's a drop-down menu, and at the bottom it says tours.
Okay, go there.
And so you go to tours, and AFA visitor registration, all tours are scheduled. So we do want folks
because we want to know who's coming and when.
We do.
So we can provide a good tour.
Yes. And right. Also we want to make sure that... they're not a crazy person.
Duly noted.
Yes.
What your criminal record may be. We need to know that, too. So, anyway, you can do that. We welcome folks to come
yes.
by. And we're always happy to greet folks and take pictures greet our listeners.
Yes. Our listeners, we've never had a crazy person, but we do. Our security.
Oh, yeah, we have. I've met a few of them.
Our security team does do a little background check. It's not a deep dive, folks.
No, but
we're not checking your 401k or anything.
We know how you voted in the year 1993.
We do want to make sure you've never made threats against AFA, that kind of thing. Okay, so our I've never met one of the crazies you're talking about, but maybe you can share. I'd like to hear about it, but not on the air.
Listen, every group has their crazies.
Yeah.
Every church. You've been a pastor.
Yes. Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Tell me one church you've served before that hadn't had one or two crazies.
No. There's been crazies. And
tell us a crazy story.
Sometimes
you got one?
Sometimes they think I'm the crazy.
All right. You're not going to share a story about a crazy church member?
Most of them are still living.
You don't have to name their names.
Most of them are still living.
And now people are wondering,
they'll know who they are?
I will say this. I had one. I think that this lady is gone on.
Give us her initials.
No, I'm not going to do that. So I'm more of a Bible teacher. I'm not really a preacher like the one we're going to have on in just a second.
Yeah.
Okay.
Brother Tim Todd.
I'm a Bible
Let me welcome Brother
Tim. Okay. All right.
Brother Tim Todd from Revival Fires, West Monroe, Louisiana, drove up as he does every year to be with us. Good to see you, bro.
Good to see you, too.
All right. Now, you can chime in, too, here. You know what subject matter here? Crazy church members.
Yes.
Okay. And Ed's about to share a story.
And this isn't really, really,
can.
Really, really crazy. But so I was an interim pastor at a church, and there was an older lady in the church who did not care much for me.
Did she hide her feelings?
No, she did not. And every Sunday after I go to the back of the church to greet people on the way out, and she would say, "That was a nice talk," because I wasn't preaching, I was teaching. She would say, "That's a nice talk," like I was addressing the local Elks Club.
So what she was saying was you weren't very inspirational.
You're not a preacher, and I don't know what you're doing here.
Okay, because everybody has their different style.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
I've always wished that I could be a preacher like Tim Todd.
Right, right.
Because he's just outstanding.
Yeah.
So
absolutely. Whatever happened to that lady? Did she stay around?
No, I was only an interim, so I was.
Oh, you're only an interim.
I wasn't there permanently.
Well, you should have felt more freedom to speak back to her then at that point. If you're an interim, you can't be kicked out.
It was actually still a toss-up whether they would call me.
Oh, you were trying out.
I don't know why we're getting all these details.
Just curious.
No, I was an assistant pastor. The pastor stepped down, and
there you were,
and there I was. But I was a young guy.
I got you.
And listen, the church was filled with great people that I still count as friends. But this one lady, she didn't like my style. I don't even know if I have style. But she said, "That was a nice talk, Brother Ed."
She knew what she was doing, didn't she?
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah. When she said "nice talk," that was a dig.
It hurt me, Tim. It hurt me deeply.
Did it hurt your heart, Ed?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I got over it, though.
All right.
Let's get to the preacher, the real preacher.
Chris Woodward here. He's our newsman. Ed Battagliano, I'm Tim Wildman, and Brother Tim Todd from Revival Fires is with us. Good morning.
Good to be here.
All right. Before you were an evangelist, which you travel around all over the country, did you serve a church or two along the way? Or?
Actually, 38 years on the evangelistic field, and, you know, I've got a lot of stories.
Can we have one crazy story?
Okay, real quickly.
Yeah.
Guy was being baptized after being saved in one of our meetings.
Okay.
And this was in Louisiana.
Okay.
And he comes up out of the water, and he was wearing a white robe, and he puts his hands, and we realize he had nothing on under his robe.
Oh, and that didn't happen.
So we found that out.
That's a dream you have.
I'm telling you. I know. Huh? I know.
Talk
about embarrassing. Oh, my goodness. I mean, how do you bring it all back together when that happens? You know what I'm saying?
That's
a short, but
still.
Yeah.
Okay, can I ask?
That's a moment of horror.
I know.
Can I ask a question here everyone knows the question I'm going to ask here. I'm not trying to be crude.
Be careful, Ed.
Just how long or short was this robe?
Well, it was, let's just put it this way. It was a long robe,
Ed,
but let's put it this way. It was wet.
Oh, okay. Okay.
That's what he's saying.
Yeah. Okay, all right. Yeah.
Which creates an outline, yeah. Ed.
So, all right.
And so they put new they put new things in place.
We need to
stop get ready
this right
for
here. Yeah. This is a family show. I think everybody gets the idea. It was an inappropriate situation.
Everybody was spiritual up to that point.
I also want to say, and then we'll move on, that I don't want to be guy number two getting in the water.
I know.
Right, I know.
How would you like
to
get baptized after that?
I know. Wow. Okay, then. Were you the one baptizing him?
No. No, I was on the platform.
The pastor was?
I was on the platform, and I saw the look on everybody's face in the audience. Okay.
And you never will forget it, will you?
Oh, no.
Now, they didn't have a big screen, did they?
No, thank
the Lord.
No, they didn't.
Okay. Woo.
Well, that tops That's a nice talk, Brother Ed. That tops that by a mile.
Mm, wow. Okay, then. Tim, you're in town to visit with us. You're here every year and been coming here for how many, how long?
23 years. This is the 24th year.
That's hard to, we've been together that long in terms of getting these Bibles out to teenagers all across America. And I remember when you and I connected that those 24 years ago, right?
Yes.
And we knew each other through, well, your dad and my dad knew each other.
Yes. Dad just went to heaven March the 4th.
And he was a well-known evangelist for, what, 4 or 5 decades himself?
Yes, 75 years in the ministry.
Wow. That's
how long? What is he? Done. How old was he when he passed?
92.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That, and he, Brother Cecil Todd, and he, he had, how many siblings you got?
I've got 3 brothers and 2 sisters.
Now, are you the only one in the ministry? Or
no, I've got all my brothers. One's in heaven, but the rest, and he was a pastor. Okay. The others are in the ministry as well.
Okay, so anyway, we connected back then because your dad knew my dad and your ministry and our ministry, and you said, hey, I want to, Revival Fire is a ministry that you head up. We want to get these Bibles in the hands of teenagers across America, and we don't want to do it without any cost to them. And you said at that time, you said, here's how we'll offset the cost to be able to pay for it. You said, I travel all across America and I will take offerings at my evangelistic, services, and we'll raise the money that way. And then once a year, we'll do this push like we're doing this week for the Truth for Youth Bible Campaign Week, and we'll just get these Bibles out all over America. That was 24 years ago, and was it last year or the year before that we crossed over the 1 million mark?
2 years ago.
So 2 years ago, we crossed over the 1 million Bible.
Yes.
1 million Bibles.
Yes.
And these are Bibles that teenagers hand out to their classmates.
Yes.
Brother Tim, what's so Tim Todd we're talking to, not Tim Wildman. We are talking to Tim Wildman, but Tim Todd is the Brother Tim whom I'm speaking. What is unique about these Bibles, and why do so many teenagers embrace these?
This is very popular. It's got the whole New Testament and the God's Word translation. That's what translation this is as well. But the God's Word translation, and in the front section, it's got 100 pages of comic stories that deal with the truth about issues of moral concern that young people are up against. And Ed, it's got things like, we deal with things like pluralism. Let our young people know Jesus is the only way to get to heaven.
Right.
Sexual purity, abortion, homosexuality, cutting, sexting, bullying, suicide. We deal with the truth about things like evolution. It is a powerful, powerful tool.
And these are excellent comics, too.
Yes. And it's legal for these young people to give these Bibles away on the back cover. As Tim was just looking at, we've got the students' legal rights on public school campus to let our young people know that legally they have the right to give Bibles away on campus during non-instructional time. So we give the Bibles to the Christian teenagers. They give them to their friends in school. We've received more than 25,000 decision cards from young people that have been saved for the first time with the more than 1 million Bibles that we've given away in the past 23 years.
And that's only the ones who filled out the card.
Exactly.
Who knows how many kids later on reading this Bible, they don't send in a card, but it's had a tremendous impact on high schools across the
country. Okay, this is it's the New Testament.
Yes. Yes.
It's the New Testament, and it's these comics that you mentioned, and the comics are so well done. And the comics, as you say, deal with various and sundry topics and issues that are common today for teenagers to have to deal with.
Yes.
And this, I'm holding up for those who are watching on our Today's Issues Facebook page or YouTube or on our streaming service, AFA
stream.afa.net.
Stream.afa.net. I'm holding up a copy of the Bible, Truth for Youth, and on the back of it is the students' legal rights on public school campuses. All right, here, so get your pen and paper ready, folks. Here's what we're offering, and this is not what we're the Bibles are genuinely free. Okay, there's no strings attached. We're not going to take your name and then sell it to somebody else or badger you about other things. In other words, when we say these Bibles are free, they are, but there's that one condition. What is that condition, Tim?
Is that they have to commit to give the Bible to somebody in school that doesn't know Jesus. And so we're shining the light of the gospel into our schools.
This is also a great project for a youth group at a church, because you can order boxes of these. You can order boxes of these, and they're very inexpensive, relatively speaking. So there is a charge for the boxes, but there is not a charge for what Tim described. If you're a teenager or your grandchildren, you can do that. If you're a grandparent and you have grandchildren, all they need to commit to is handing one of these Bibles to somebody at their school who is not a Christian, who doesn't know the Lord. And so you can get the free Bible. How many are you offering, max?
For one Bible per teenager per household.
Okay, so if I got three teenagers.
Oh, they all get one free.
Three. Now, how do I get these?
They can go to tfy.org, tfy.org, or they can call Central Standard Time between 8:30 and 4:30.
Like right now?
Right now. Right now, and the phones are ready at 844-530-8890, 844-530-8890.
Now, does that call your office in West Monroe?
Yes.
Okay, so you got your staff there.
Got them there, ready to answer the phone right now.
Let me get the phone number again.
Yes.
And by the way, if they want to call and order a box of do you give them a box of 100? How do you box
50 Bibles to a box. Now, a minute ago, you said that the boxes are not free, but the boxes themselves, the box, is free. It's the Bibles in the box.
You know what you're doing, Tim? You're trying to Tim.
Out here,
and I know what you're doing, because I do the same thing to other people. Now you're trying to throw it back to me.
So I actually pay.
The boxes are free. The actual boxes.
Yeah, but the Bibles that are in the box.
Yeah.
So for 100
okay.
Bibles.
If you want to be a smart aleck during our time here, that's you know every man makes his free choice.
So I pay $2 a copy to print the Bibles, because I print 50,000 at a time.
Okay.
But I pass that savings on. If they get a case of 50 Bibles,
okay,
I let them have them at my cost plus shipping. So $2 a piece, 50 Bibles in a case, $100 for a case.
And then whatever the shipping is, 10 bucks or something
it's
that usually?
A little more than that. But
okay. Well, that's...
But that's 50 Bibles.
That's what I'm saying. This is a great project for a youth group at a church, because, I mean... Even if they have like 25 members in their youth group, 50 Bibles, they should be able to do that. So for $2 a piece, so you're talking 50 Bibles, a box of 50, you're talking $100 plus shipping, so whatever that is, 15, 20 bucks plus, this is a great, so can they order the boxes the same way you're offering them to order the individual Bibles?
Yes, absolutely. At the same time, if they want to. So the free Bibles.
Yeah. Here's the number. 844. This is the number to call West Monroe at Revival Fires Ministry, and Tim's staff will answer the phone. 844-530-8890. 844-530-8890. You were going to say?
Okay, two things. So I want to just read off on the back of this Bible some of the legal rights that students have on public school campuses. All right, folks, some things you may not even know that kids can do. And then, Brother Tim, Todd, we come back to you. I want you to preach for 2 minutes, okay? I want you to tell our listeners why.
He can't preach for just 2 minutes. Have you ever heard him?
Yes, I have.
It's not a criticism. It's a compliment.
I know you're still bitter. You're still bitter because of what he did.
Tim can go. We won't even need to do anything.
But just talk about the desperate need of the gospel for our culture, okay? But first, let me just share
So I'm giving you a heads up in case you need to make a few notes, you know,
before prepare you start a message.
Yeah.
So students' legal rights on public school campuses, the right to meet with other religious students and to form Bible clubs. Folks, did you know that that's legal? The right to express your religious beliefs through signs, symbols, and clothing. The right to talk about your religious beliefs and share your faith with other students on campus. That's when everyone else is talking about football or a concert they went to. You Christian kids have the right to share your faith. And the right, there's 10 of these on here. The right to distribute religious literature, Bibles, for example, Truth for Youth Bible, on campus during non-instructional time, so you can't interrupt geometry and start handing out Bibles. But also on the back, if you have any questions or need legal assistance regarding these rights, you can contact Revival Fires Ministry. So, Brother Tim, Todd, tell our listeners why there is a desperate need for the gospel in our public schools and elsewhere.
Absolutely. You know, right now, America is in trouble. And I believe one reason why our nation is in the trouble that we're in is because God's people have not been doing what God has called us and set us apart to do. And Jeremiah chapter 6, the Bible says, stand at the crossroad, ask for the old paths where the good way is, and walk in it, and you will find peace. And I believe that the only way that we are going to receive the peace that we need to receive is for God's people to rise up and take back what the devil has stolen. And old paths, one thing is we kicked God out of our schools in 1962 and 1963 with the two court cases that came before the Supreme Court, Abington v. Shemp and Engle v. Vitale. They declared it unconstitutional to read the Bible or to pray in our public schools. That has been 61 years ago, and our nation has never been the same since. We've had crises after crisis and chaos and trouble. So I believe that one thing we need to do is we need to get God back in our schools, because as a result of taking God out of our schools and leaving the old paths by taking God out of our schools, the devil has moved in. Evolution, humanism, secularism, atheism, all the other isms, socialism, all the other isms that the devil is using, transgender ideology, woke ideology, homosexuality that's being promoted in the public school classroom. I believe that what we need to do is shine the light of the gospel into our school systems. The way that we do that legally is through our young people. We arm them, the Christian young people, with the Word of God. They shine the light into the school campus where they attend. Not only that, but the plan of salvation is in each one of those comic stories. So the young people that are receiving these Bibles find out how to give their life to Jesus Christ. They send us a decision card. We get them plugged into a local church wherever they live. More than 25,000 decision cards in the past 23 years since we started this project from young people that have given their life to the Lord Jesus Christ that we know about.
Right.
So we need to return to the old paths, and one way to do that, one part of doing that, is getting the Word of God back in our schools.
All right, folks, if you want a free Bible, now you have to commit to give this to a young person, teenager, high schooler. They have to commit to give it away free to someone who doesn't know the Lord. Here are a couple of ways.
Don't be charging people.
Yes, no,
that's right. Go to school and say, I'll give you this Bible for $5.
Yes.
That goes against the spirit of why we're doing this.
That would be wrong.
Inappropriate.
Absolutely. So two ways to do this, folks. You can go to TFY.org. That stands for Truth for Youth. TFY.org. You can order online anytime. Or between 8:30 and 4:30 p.m. Central Time, you can call this number. And Brother Tim's staff is waiting to take your phone call, 844-530-8890. That's 844-530-8890. However many teenagers you have in your home, grandparents, however many teenagers you have as grandkids, if they will commit to give one of these Bibles out, you can get one free.
Hey, we got 3 or 4 minutes here. I always like to ask people like yourself, Tim, who spent your lifetime in God's Word, studying God's Word, proclaiming God's Word. Give me your Old Testament Mount Rushmore. I know I'm putting you on the spot, but Who are the four people in the Old Testament that you doesn't have to be what everybody else might say or what did they?
Sure. I would say definitely Abraham.
Abraham. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Abraham. I would say definitely Moses.
Okay, that's two.
Elijah. There's a toss-up.
There's one more that we're all thinking about that you haven't said yet.
Yes, and it's the Italian prophet, Malachi. I think we can all be in agreement.
Malachi flamed out there at the end.
Yeah.
You read the story.
You know, I would be tempted. Of course, you know, we're David.
That's what I was going to say.
Okay.
So Abraham, Moses, David, and you said Elijah?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay. Is that your four?
I'm not complaining about any of those.
But you had
There's some great ones in there. Uh-huh. Samuel's a great one. But uh-huh. I like Elijah. I'd go with Elijah.
Why?
Well, just the powerful ministry he had. There are echoes of Elijah's ministry in the New Testament, the book of Revelation. I mean, it's just such a powerful ministry, and he was so human.
And so straightforward, too.
Yeah.
If the Lord be God, follow him.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's so human, having that huge mountaintop experience, literally, against the prophets of Baal, that great moment, and then he falls into depression because Jezebel comes looking for his head, and yet God is faithful to Elijah.
And he did what all of us want to do. He called down fire from heaven and killed 30
prophets.
That's
where you got your ministry name, right? Revival
Fires.
Revival
Fires. That's one way to bring a revival.
That's what I call zapping them.
That's it.
Right there. Call down fire.
Smiting. That was an act of smiting.
Yeah.
Smiting.
That was phony preachers.
that's where we got the derivative of the word smote.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right?
Past tense.
So.
They be smote.
You got Abraham. You got
Moses.
David.
And Elijah.
On your Mount Rushmore of the Old Testament. Okay,
that's,
I got you.
That's good.
Hey, thanks, Tim.
You're welcome.
Appreciate
Thank you, Tim.
Absolutely.
Appreciate y'all.
We'll be back in 5 minutes. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.